as we too swiftly come to the ends of the main part of the Easter season, which of course ends on Thursday with the Feast of the Ascension, and then of course with the Feast of Pentecost and Trinity Sunday in the next few weeks, we also have many other wonderful and glorious events. Today, for those who are Anglophiles, we have this great saint, probably the most brilliant of all the saints of England, Saint Bede the Venerable. And of course, early on in the days of after his death, he was so venerated that he was called the Venerable. And so even though that isn't his name, that isn't his title, saint is, when he was canonized, he was called Saint Bede the Venerable. And so it still is. To him we owe the histories of the church in the British Isles, in England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland. He's the one who wrote everything about all the saints, all the martyrs, all the progresses that the church made, all the difficulties that the popes had with the English and the Irish, who were very stubborn and did not want to obey. They did not want to accept the Roman rite of the Mass, which of course goes back all the way back there. Now, he died in 735, so it is not anything new. It was not invented by St. Pius V. It was all the way back indeed to the second century, the apostles. And there's no reason why anybody should have tried to get rid of it. And hopefully soon it will be back everywhere for everyone. And then, of course, we also have the feast of Pope St. John the First, who died even earlier in 526. And he had to endure horrible tortures until finally he died. And, of course, we have other feasts on this day, and some of them are martyrologies. We celebrate the feast of one of my favorite saints, Pope St. Gregory the Seventh. St. Gregory the Seventh had to run from the Vatican, and he went north of Naples, where he is still venerated. You can see his incorrupt body in the Basilica of St. Matthew, north of Naples. Out in the country, there's nothing else. But I remember as a young seminarian, a teenager, we were taken there, and I was so taken by him. So I tried to study as much as possible about St. Gregory the Seventh, who stood up to the rulers of the world for the rights of the church and the rights of the papacy. And so these are very good things, very good saints, to be surrounding the newly elected and now newly seated on the throne of Peter, Pope Leo XIV, because he's going to need all their intercession, all their strength. And I was very happy to see pictures and films this morning that on Sunday, when he took possession of the cathedral of the Most Holy Redeemer and St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist at the Lateran, which is the cathedral of Rome, the cathedral of the Pope, where it is the seat of Peter, and that is what it takes for him to be fully Pope. Before that, he could not be truly considered fully Pope, and now he is. But at that Mass, he did something which I used to do at the Novus Ordo. We can't do it in the Trinitine Rite, and I'm fine with that. But he gave out communion under both species by intinction, which, of course, prevents anybody from receiving communion in the hand. And it's a very good thing. We used to do it here when people still used to come up, and then, of course, little by little, I got rid of it. Some people say, how did you do it? With much suffering. Nothing that has been done without much suffering. And, of course, I'm still trying to get over Sunday, which was very, very much suffering. Anyone that knows me knows that anything over 60 degrees is too hot. And it was about 100 degrees in the church, and I was veritably dying, and I still feel like I'm dying. All my strength, everything is gone, and I am full of pain from head to toe. But I'm glad that God gave me the strength. But these things all happen together. And we offer these things to Jesus through Mary for the church and for the Pope. May he have the strength to do what he needs to do, what he has to do to clean up the mess that he has inherited for the last 60 years. And by the way, with him on the throne, that makes another pope that I have known in the past. The only pope I have not known, nor did I care to know, was Francis. And he's gone. Like my cancer, he's gone. But I knew St. Paul VI, who made mistakes, but he was a great man, a very holy man, and he taught me many things. And I knew, of course, St. John Paul I and St. John Paul II, who ordained me to the priesthood. And, of course, I knew Pope Benedict, who soon, hopefully, will be saint. He made many mistakes, too, like everybody does. You make them, too, so, you know, don't throw stones at anybody else. And now, I went to school, several schools, several universities in Rome with the then young seminarian, Robert Prevost, who is now, by the will of God and the grace of God, Leo XIV. And so I was very, very happy to see the way he gave out communion and his vestments. He's using all the beautiful vestments of John Paul and Benedict, not the junky ones like were used for the last 10 years. Beautiful vestments, and I'm sure soon enough he will have his own brand that will mark him and his pontificate. So we need to continue to pray for him. And there are those who never cease to criticize. They'll criticize God if he was here. Oh, they did. Jesus, that's the way he was. We must not do that. We must pray, praise, and give thanks to God. And I give thanks to God that I have known yet another supreme pontiff of my life. I would have done anything to know St. John the 23rd and Venerable Pius the 12th, but I wasn't here yet. So maybe I'll know them in heaven, if God so will. In the meantime, another great joy is that we have our son. In many ways, our son and my son, in the things that count, with us here, newly ordained Father Deacon Aaron Sanka, who is here, and I found out the things that he can do in this rite, and he will, and again on Sunday, but I wanted to preach today. He can preach, but I wanted to preach today. And then he will be giving you communion, because he can, and I can. And so, like it is our practice here in this shrine, say amen and stick out your tongue all the way. And don't look down at the floor for some people. I don't know what they think they're seeing down there. Maybe they're looking at the fires of hell. Up and smile, for heaven's sakes. I was telling Father Deacon today, you know, I'm very worried about his other spiritual brother. I won't mention him now. And many there at the seminary, I never see them smile. I mean, we don't have to look like an idiot, but at the same time, we should smile. We have much reason for which to be happy, for which to be joyous. And the most important one of us that we have, the holy sacrifice of the Mass of all ages, and we have Holy Communion. What more reason do you want than that? So don't look at the floor, look at the host, and don't look at the fires of hell, which you are trying to avoid. Look at the glory of heaven, which you are trying to to reach. God help you. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. And I hope my voice is coming back. Doesn't seem like it to me, but you say you have, so God, praise be God. The end of these horrible sufferings which I've had to endure because of the devil and his servants on earth.